Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celenti, and it's Wednesday, May 15th, 2024. And once again, we're very honored to have with us Judge Andrew Napolitano, or Napolitano, from Napolitano and Napolitano. And he just got back from Italy. He was in Milano.
Where everybody pronounces it Napolitano.
And a true Napolitano, a very man of passion, caring, love, and strength. And he was just over in Milano addressing the Mises Institute libertarians. And you have to look at this. You go to his YouTube, Judging Freedom, and you can see what was going on over there and how intelligent these people are and how caring they are and how informed they are. So it's great to see you, Judge, and thank you for all that you're doing.
It's a pleasure, my man. I missed you last week, but you were in my mind because I know how much you love Italy. I actually saw some street corners going, Gerald would love that. Gerald would love that.
I haven't been there since 2015, unfortunately.
So in Milan, which is not known for its pizza, you can't open up a pizza place in Milan unless you're a graduate of the pizza school in Naples, and you have to certify that on the wall. And it's terrific.
You know, Judge, every week you're coming out with articles that are so important for people to read and understand. And a new one's coming out tomorrow, Free Speech for Me, But Not for Thee. And you go on talking about what happened with Hamas. And you go, here's the backstory. The Hamas assault on Israeli civilians and military on October 7th prompted a ferocious Israeli response on Palestinian civilians and Hamas fighters, the latter of which have been the subject of intense international debate and even litigation in the International Court of Justice. Both the initial assault and the response in turn have prompted the U.S. The articulation of deeply held and strongly worded ideas. You go, some folks here believe that the Israeli Defense Force has intentionally engaged in the genocide of Palestinian civilians in order to expand the borders of the current state of Israel, so as to include what is today the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Some believe that this land was destined by God to be the Israeli homeland. Some believe that the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, has engaged in war crimes, and others believe it is doing what is necessary. This is what you just wrote, is what's going on in Israel in front of everybody's eyes is complete genocide.
Yes. But what I just wrote, you should be able to discuss freely and openly in the United States of America without fear of retribution from the government. I expect that when you and I say it's genocide, and we have very, very sound reasons for believing that, including the International Court and all the evidence they amassed, that people will disagree with us and even call us names. I get it. That's the way the world is. They have the freedom of speech just as we do. But I do not expect that I will be punished by the government for saying it. Now, I'm a graduate of Princeton University. If I were a student at Princeton or a professor or administrator at Princeton, and I said the Israeli government has engaged in genocide, and this legislation that the House of Representatives just passed, hasn't passed the Senate yet, becomes law, Princeton University has two choices: kick me out or suffer a loss of federal funds. Because the Congress has decided on its own that it will punish speech that it hates and fears. And that is a direct and profound violation of the First Amendment. They debated this on the floor of the House, you're not going to believe this, for 15 minutes. They gave Thomas Massie, the most courageous member of the House, the Ron Paul of our day, 2 minutes in which to explain how this violates the oath that everybody in that room took to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution, which includes the First Amendment. They didn't want to hear it. This thing passed overwhelmingly. There were like 40 or 50 Republicans who voted against it. Some of them had accepted money from AIPAC. AIPAC took all their, not Thomas Massie, but others. AIPAC took all their names down from its website. And by the way, they funded a $2 million anti-Massie campaign in the media in the state of Kentucky. Now, Massie doesn't have to worry about losing his seat. It's a safe seat for him, but they're going to do everything they can to tarnish him and make his life miserable. The House of Representatives chose as a solution to anti-Semitism, authoritarianism. Because back to my Princeton example, Princeton will have no recourse. The feds would just turn off the spigot of money. There's no due process. There's no trial. So they violated the First Amendment, freedom of speech. They violated the Fifth Amendment, due process, if this thing should ever become law. It's just reprehensible. I seriously fear the loss of the freedom of speech, the burden on the freedom of speech by the federal government in the coming months and years, no matter who's in the White House.
It's heartbreaking. You know, but let's go back to the COVID war. You couldn't say anything if you didn't believe the jab, if you didn't believe stand 6 feet apart, if you didn't believe to wear these masks that say on the box right here, these masks do not eliminate exposure to the risk of any disease or infection. You're not allowed to say that. That's misinformation. So this is what you're saying is really, it's just an extension of how they've robbed our freedom of speech and freedom of choice. And it's just getting worse and worse. And this, by the way, is the America that attacks countries all over the world in the name of bringing freedom and democracy.
Right.
As they're stealing it from us right in front of our eyes.
You know, there's a sleeper case. I say sleeper. It didn't get a lot of publicity before the Supreme Court about whether the government, the federal government, the Department of Homeland Security, can use a carrot or a stick to coerce or cajole social media into suppressing stories it doesn't want to hear and pushing stories it does want to hear. And the oral argument made it sound like the justices are going to allow the Department of Homeland Security to do that. That is a major, major hole in the First Amendment. If the government can do indirectly by paying or threatening what it obviously can't do directly, infringing upon the freedom of speech, they will be paying Google and Facebook and the others to do what they can't directly do. If the court allows them to do this, this will just be a major, major loss for personal freedom.
You're right. Let's start with the basics. The First Amendment of the United States Constitution prohibits Congress from infringing upon the freedom of speech. And they can give a damn.
You'd never know that. You'd only know that on the floor of the House if you heard Thomas Massie. You wouldn't know it from the others who said things like, we can't allow Hamas to be on college campuses. We can't allow speech that'll eventually bring another Holocaust. I mean, these people are seeing Hitler under every bedpost and behind every toilet bowl. This is just reprehensible. This reminds me of the days and weeks and months after 9/11 where George Bush scared the daylights out of everybody thinking that a terrorist was behind every bedpost and every toilet bowl. And the feds needed to have access to our bedposts and toilet bowls to make sure they weren't there. I'm being allegorical mentioning bedposts and toilet bowls, but the level of intrusion was comparable to that. The level of suppression of free speech that this will produce is monumental. There are only about 12 colleges in the country out of 400 that do not accept federal funds that would be immune from this. All others would suffer financially if they would fail. We'll go back to my Princeton example, fail to discipline me as a student or a professor or an administrator who said something like, Zionism is wrong, the Israeli government is evil. You can say that, but you have to attack something else. You have to say the Israeli government is evil. By the way, so is Putin. Zionism is wrong, and so is fundamental Christianity. You have to attack somebody else with it. So this thing not only infringes upon free speech, it compels speech. The First Amendment not only guarantees the right to speak, it guarantees the right not to speak. So these people in the House of Representatives are monsters to have enacted something like this. No committee hearings, no meaningful debate, no examination as to its effect on free speech. Let's just do it because we need money from the Jewish lobby, from the donor class, and we have to please them because we need their money for our campaigns.
You know, you keep calling them the House of Representatives. They don't represent, they represent the people that give us the money. They don't represent we the people. They're not represent, they're the only representative represent pieces of crap, because all the wars that they support, all the freedoms that they rob from us. You go on to say that members of Congress who support the bill, who have taken the same oath that I have to uphold the First Amendment, say that some speech can lead to killing Jews in America. Do they think that a crazy person intent on killing will abide the restrictions of free speech?
It's
this
ridiculous.
Is like the stupidity of what they have with the gun laws.
Right.
Crazy guy wants to get a gun. Just because it's against the law, they're going to get a gun and kill you anyway.
This is our government today, and you put your finger on it. They do not represent the people. They represent those who give them the money to get reelected. Justice Scalia famously said, there's a principle of interpreting statutes called legislative history. You look at what the legislators said on the floor of the legislature when they voted in favor of the legislation. And Justice Scalia famously said, it doesn't matter what they said. They only vote for one reason: to get reelected.
That's it. You know, you mentioned George Bush before and how they robbed us of our freedom.
The Patriot Act.
Yep. And most of the people supported it. This is from ABC News. March 11th, 2002. Poll finds broad support for Bush. 6 months after September 11th, Americans are expressing enormous sustained support for the war on terrorism, broad approval of George W. Bush's job performance, and a swelling sense of patriotism that leads most to say this crisis has changed, you ready? The nation for the better. 82% approve of Bush's job performance. You ready? While that's 10% points below his peak, 92% of the people supported him. Wow. A little boy of nothing with a brain the size of a pea. A little jerk, a daddy's boy, born on third base, thought he had a home run, an ignorant, arrogant piece of scum. 92% of the people swallow the crap spewing out of this little boy's mouth.
Well, he very effectively deflected blame from his own administration, which is, of course, asleep at the switch. And blame terrorist organizations, and actually, without using this phrase, blame too much freedom, because the Patriot Act, which allows one FBI agent to authorize another FBI agent to spy on you, is the most unpatriotic, anti-freedom piece of legislation enacted by the Congress since the Alien and Sedition Act of 1796 made it a crime to criticize the government. He deflected blame away from himself. In reality, his CIA, his Pentagon was asleep at the switch and allowed this to happen. How many people were prosecuted because of 9/11? How many people in the American government were prosecuted because of 9/11? One CIA agent was prosecuted for revealing the name of torturers. Revealing the name of the torturers, he went to jail for 3 years. That's it. Torture that George Bush had authorized and for which he immunized them so they couldn't be prosecuted.
You know, you your article about how the House of Representatives, the jerks in Congress passed this bill, you know, condemning anti-Semitism. Number one, the people running Israel are not Semites. They're Ashkenazi Jews from northeastern Europe, like above Turkey. The Semites are people from the Mesopotamia region, like the Palestinians. Number two, it is by definition what they are committing there, genocide, according to the Encyclopedia Britannica. Genocide, the deliberate and systematic destruction of a group of people because of their ethnicity, nationality, religion, or race. So now, what do we have that came out yesterday? And this is from Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, which I pay to subscribe to, because as trend forecasters, you want to get the information from all over the world. So we'd only take what they're saying in America, but what they're saying in Israel, we go to IRNA, ISNA, the Tehran Times to hear the Iranians, Al Jazeera to hear the Arab side. So this is from Haaretz. Genocide by definition. Quote, we must settle Gaza now. National Security Minister that Ben-Gvir called for Israel to, quote, encourage emigration of Palestinians out of the Gaza Strip. All right. In order to preserve the security achievements that our soldiers lost their lives for, we must resettle Gaza with security forces and settlers that will embrace the land with love. And this is some other scumbag saying this, guy, Kari. Minister Shlomo, a member of the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party. Genocide.
Well,
by
look.
Definition. By definition.
Correct. Their own words manifest genocide. Their own words that the Palestinian people are subhuman. You know, if you want to deny somebody's life, you first have to deny that they're human. And that's what the Israeli government is doing to the Palestinians by having Israeli officials of the government say they're subhuman, they're animals, yep. They don't deserve the right to live. And once you get the majority to believe that, it's then easy to slaughter innocents. I mean, history teaches that indisputably. So there's no question but that they're engaged. They even have a phrase that they use. This is a horrible phrase, mowing the lawn.
Yep.
The image is of some sort of a device that would just cut people's heads off like you would cut the grass.
So again, you're condemned. You're condemned for speaking the truth by definition.
Yes.
By definition, and the words coming out of their mouths. Oh, and by the way, you know, the Trump, all those jerks that love him, he is so pro-Israel, he's condemning Biden for not being strong enough in their support. And his little spoiled, rotten little son-in-law, Jared Kushner, you remember.
He wants to build mansions on the beach.
He described waterfront property in the Gaza Strip as valuable. Quote, It's a little bit unfortunate situation there. A little bit unfortunate situation. You're bombing the place into ruins under the bullshit. Yeah, we're destroying everything because Hamas is living in every home, in every university, in every hospital. So we got to level the place. A little bit of an unfortunate situation. But from Israel's perspective, you ready? I would do my best to move the people out and clean it up. Genocide. Genocide.
Well, this is going to continue no matter who's president, whether it's Biden or Trump. There might actually be a greater chance of dialing Biden back on this than Trump back on this. But either way, we have nothing to look forward to unless other state actors get involved and resist Israel militarily, which is not unlikely. Yeah. We have nothing to look forward to in the next 3 or 4 years, but more of this slaughter and killing.
Yep.
Funded, financed, paid for by the American taxpayer.
Yep. The plantation workers of Slavelandia. That's all we are. Because Biden moves forward on $1 billion in new arms for Israel. Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, that's this morning.
Yep. And again, this little Jared Kushner, he added that the Palestinian civilians should be moved into the Negev Desert.
Wow.
Genocide. But yet, Dartmouth College called police for a nonviolent protest, causing a swift fallout.
Well, that president should be forced to resign for using violence and force on her own students who were merely standing there with signs and chanting. They weren't stopping people from going to class. They weren't interfering with school functions. And she used violence to silence them. That's the trend that I think is coming, Gerald.
Well, look what they've done right up here in New Paltz, 20 minutes away from you over here. They arrested some 300 students. And these cops beating the hell out of people. What the hell's the matter with them?
Yeah.
Is this Nazi America?
It is. It's becoming that. I'm waiting for these cases to be thrown out by judges who will say, there's no crime here. And then I'm waiting for the lawsuits against the police. Now, that's not going to happen overnight. It'll take years for all that to happen. And some students probably will feel, well, I've graduated. I'm gone. I'm living my life. Why do I want to revisit this? But I would encourage people who are charged by these cops, welcome the charges and make a First Amendment defense and you'll prevail. The cops are not going to even be able to testify against you because they're not even going to remember one student from the next. Each person's entitled to an individual trial. The government has to present evidence against the individuals, can't present evidence against the group in a trial. So this may have a happy ending, but it's not going to, it's not going to be tomorrow.
No. They go on to say a bystander visiting his father who lives near Dartmouth found himself with a fractured shoulder. The cops beat the guy up just walking by.
Yeah.
And one after another, and you saw you wrote about this. We talked about this, how these these professors being thrown, women thrown to the ground by these cops and beating them up.
Right.
What was this country turning into? You know, and again, and then you have these guys, these billionaires, all coming out against what's going on. This guy Citadel's Ken Griffin. Talking about, we're living in a different world than what we fantasized just a few years ago. And he's all against what's going on over here. Universities should be trying to encourage us, coming out against these protesters. One after another, these billionaires. And that's all that gets the news. What the billionaires say, that guy Ackman, one after another, getting rid of these people that are presidents of universities because they're letting students protest. This is America? A-M-E-R-I-K-A.
Right.
America.
I know. I hate that, but it's true. It's true. It's interesting. That's what the left used to write during the Vietnam War, and they turned out to be right. There's more like the old Soviet Union.
They've been big advertisements been appearing in all of the news, major newspapers. The Declaration of the Establishment of the State of Israel. The State of Israel was established 76 years ago. Throughout those years, the United States and Israel have been and will remain partners in democracy. Who the hell are you talking about? What, you mean democracy? You mean the apartheid state of Israel? Oh, not my term. That's from human rights. One organization after another, the laws that they passed in Israel, it makes it an apartheid state. The Jewish people have the rights over the Arab people. It's not a democracy. And they invented this place 76 years ago through the United Nations. What did it have, like 56 members in the United Nations when they created this?
Yeah.
And the Balfour Declaration? The phony Balfour Declaration that he came up with? That says His Majesty's government declares in 1917 that they will have a Jewish settlement in Palestine? Who's His Majesty's government? The murder from Where the Sun Never Sets on the British Empire?
Well, all of that is now accepted as legitimate by the effete core of impudent snobs, as the late Spiro Agnew used to call them, who are basically the elites that run the military, industrial, corporate, pharmaceutical surveillance complex. Karen Kwiatkowski, who's very much one of us, just a brilliantly expanded military-industrial complex to include corporate, banking, pharmaceutical, and surveillance. And that's what it is.
I agree. I say the same exact thing. Yep. You know, Dr. Naomi Wolf, she does some great stuff. And this is a quote from her. She talks about the chosen people. She said, it's not okay. You're the children of Israel. You're ethnically descendants of Abraham. You are my chosen people. She said, that's not what they mean. She said, if you don't do certain things, you're not chosen. She said, it's not ethnicity when talking about the chosen people. It's moral behavior.
Mm.
So stop with this crap, you know, that you're the chosen people. Don't want to hear your bullshit. And you don't have to believe me. You can ask Dr. Naomi Wolf, a Jewish person, who's saying that's not what it means, because you're a descendant of that you're chosen. It's your moral behavior that makes you a chosen person. So the people that are running the show, there's no morality among them at all.
No, not at all. When Netanyahu was asked the other day, last weekend, so three or four days ago, how long he expects the war to go on, you know what he said?
No.
About another 10 years.
Holy.
Because that's how much longer he wants to be prime minister. And as soon as the war is over, his prime ministership and his freedom are gone.
Yep. Judge, here's the cover to this week's Trends Journal.
Well, there he is.
Yep. He said, with God's help, together we will be victorious. And I said, you mean with Satan's help, God condemns genocide.
Right.
But nobody's saying that.
No. You can't say that on a college campus. If that legislation that Thomas Massie opposed becomes law, unless you also condemn somebody else.
Do you think they're gonna, the Senate's going to pass this?
Yes, and I think Joe Biden will sign it, and I think the first federal judge that touches it will invalidate it.
Judge, thank you for all that you do, and everybody, everywhere, you got to go to his channel, Judging Freedom.
Phil Giraldi is on this afternoon. I'll give him your regards.
What a man he is. We publish his articles, by the way. many of them in the Trends Journal.
Yeah.
He really speaks the truth and fights for freedom. He's a real man.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Judge.
You're welcome, Gerald. All the best. I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday.
Ciao, ciao.